The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to the people of St. Clements. It is good to see you. Like, truly it is, because the citizens of Boston had two decisions to make this morning upon waking up. And that decision was, do I come to Mass or do I go to Southie for the St. Patrick's Day parade? To be honest, it seemed like at the prayer at the 9:15, a lot of people were already in Southie. So as Jesus said to Mary, "You have chosen the better part." So thank you for being here. The parade will still be going on at noon. You can have all that time to have fun. On a more serious note, stop to ask yourself, how is my Lent going? How is my Lent going? How is my life of prayer, my life of fasting and almsgiving, or that one thing that I said I was going to do extra during this Lenten season, how is it going? Some of you are smiling like, ugh. Are you crushing it, or are you being crushed? A few weeks ago, I was listening to a YouTube video. It was a good video by this gentleman. His name is Simon Sinek. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you've seen some of his videos on YouTube. He's a motivational speaker, gives lots of great talks about leadership, especially to us millennials and Gen Zers out there who might need to grow up a little bit more. But the title of the talk was, "Do You Know the Game That You Are Playing?" Do you know the game that you are playing? And Simon Sinek says that for the entirety of our lives here on earth, we play two types of games. The first type of game we play are called finite games. And finite games are like sports. So guys, we should get this very easily and understand it. Finite games have three characteristics. There are a set number of players, there are rules that have to be followed, and there is a clear objective to the game. Okay, so if you watch hockey or basketball or any sport, it's pretty clear. In hockey, there's five players on the ice. There are rules to follow, and if they don't follow the rules, the players get penalized. They go to the penalty box. And the clear objective is that by the end of the third period, there has to be a winner. And if there's not, then they go play overtime, they go shoot up, but there has to be a winner. Because it's a finite game. But then the second type of game that we can play, and the game that we really don't understand that we're even playing or how to play it, are called infinite games. And in infinite games, the biggest difference between an infinite game and a finite game is that there can be no clear objective at times, because the objective is to outlast your opponent. And the objective is to maybe understand that this game could go on forever. Players can come and go. Rules can change at times because they're not set. but the game can go on forever. And so maybe the goal, the objective, is to just outlast your opponent. Okay, if you're a board game lover, an example could be the game of Monopoly. It's like the worst game that parents like playing with their children because the kids don't last. They give up. They come and they go. And really, the objective of Monopoly is not to have Park Street and all the other streets that are in New York City and have the most money. The objective is really to keep the game going and wait for your opponents to quit. If you're a history lover, think of the Vietnam War, an infinite game, because the U.S. was in it to win it, but the North Vietnamese, they just outlasted the United States, and that's why they won the war. In infinite games, the objective is that there really is not going to be an end. So we need to just stay in it because people will leave and they'll give up. What the heck does that have to do, these two types of games, with this second Sunday of Lent? And when we look at the gospel that we just read a few moments ago, the transfiguration, especially for Peter, it's a finite game. We know the players. It's Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah appear, and even God the Father appears in the cloud, and we hear his voice. Those are the players. And the objective we learn at the end of the gospel is that Jesus is the Father's chosen Son, so listen to him. The struggle, though, for Peter, because he's a man of many struggles, is that he doesn't know that it's more than a finite game. And he wants to keep Jesus. He wants to keep God in a box. But what Jesus is trying to show Peter and remind all of us today is that the transfiguration is that infinite game. If we were to be reading like the Greek, which most of us probably can't do, in the gospel it says that Jesus has changed. His bodily appearance changes, his face changes, and his body becomes that dazzling white. What really we would be reading is that Jesus went beyond himself. Jesus went beyond himself. And what he's showing us by going beyond himself in this moment of the transfiguration, by his body literally changing, is that there's something more here that's happening, Peter, and for all of us. There's something greater happening here. And what the beyond is, what the more is for Peter and for all of us in this infinite game, is this what St. Paul tells us in the second reading, that our citizenship is not of this earth, but it's in heaven. So the transfiguration, then it says it's not about the moment that Jesus transfigures on the mountain. It's about the beyond. And it's about for all those who hear the gospel and believe to obtain that citizenship of heaven. And that brings us to this Lenten season and that opening question of how is your Lent going? Are you crushing it? Or do you feel like you're being crushed? Because really the trick of Lent, and it's not just a trick, maybe the grace, is that we can see Lent as that finite game. The players are you. It's me. The objective is we're going to intentionally pray, fast, and give alms. It's going to last for 40 days. And the objective is for us to become hopefully a little more holy, to become saints. But the problem is that we only see it as something for 40 days and something that we have to do. And maybe the real objective is to see this Lenten season as that infinite game. That it's something more than these 40 days or 30 some odd days that are left. It's not about looking back on all the ways that you might have failed and maybe haven't even started your Lenten practices, but by starting today, and that this Lent isn't just until that Good Friday, but it's something beyond, it's something more, which is how is this Lent going to get me to my citizenship in heaven? And that's important, guys, because the devil knows us very well. He knows us very well, and he knows how to relax and let up, especially during this time of Lent. He knows when to push our buttons to make us think that we're doing it really wrong. And then where he really gets us is beyond, more than those 40 days, when that Easter Sunday comes and we're like, oh man, I'm right back where I was before that Ash Wednesday. That phone is part of my life again. I'm judging. I'm being sarcastic. I haven't even prayed. Like, did Lent even happen for me? That's the game that the devil plays. The grace is, it's not the game that Jesus plays. The game that Jesus plays is that he is here now. He doesn't want you to look back on all the things you've done wrong, but to just begin again and lean on him to the things that we can do well, and how we can pray, how we can fast, and not just put a 20 in the plate, but give our hearts to the Lord. And the beauty of this game with the Lord and having that citizenship in heaven is that he gives us his heart here and every day and for all of infinity, all of eternity. And that is why we're really here now and not in Southie. Because it's in this Mass that the Lord gives us the greatest gift that we can receive here on this earth to get us to his citizenship in heaven, which is the words that we hear at every Mass, but most importantly, this Eucharist, which we now receive.